A bitter standoff over an anti-terrorism law has ended in Britain. Today, Prime Minister Tony Blair reached a compromise with the House of Lords on the bill after more than 30 hours of debate. It grants judges new powers to order house arrests, curfews, and electronic tracking. It also allows the government to ban terror suspects from meeting certain people and allows restrictions on their access to the phone and internet. The law is likely to be used first against 8 foreign-born terror suspects who were granted bail and released earlier today. Nick Fielding is covering the story for the Sunday Times of London. He says political debate over the measure was fierce.
It's been the most extraordinary period with this bill bouncing between the House of Commons and the House of Lords four times and extended debate and deliberations which have only really been solved by the government handing out further concessions.
So throughout all this, the British Parliament is known for robust and sometimes rowdy debate, and that's when lawmakers actually agree with each other. What was the tone of this debate like?
Well, there was a large degree of rowdiness, and probably not helped by the fact that the debate went right through the night, and the members of the House of Lords were required to be at a sitting this morning at even at 5 o'clock in the morning. So these really are unprecedented scenes, particularly in the upper house. I think we are used to longer debates in the House of Commons on occasion, but the House of Lords to be involved like this is very unusual indeed.
Nick, what about these terrorist suspects? Who are they, and what are the conditions of their release?
Well, they're a fairly mixed group of people. A large number of them, the bulk of them, in fact, are North Africans, primarily Algerians. We don't know officially the full identities of all of these people because they've only been known to the legal process as A, B, C, D, and so on. But a number of them have agreed to allow their names to be put into the public domain, and they include Abu Qatada, for example. Now, we know quite a lot about Abu Qatada. He's an extremely serious player. He's somebody who's been very well known within the Al-Qaeda movement. He's someone who has been credited, in a sense, with inspiring Al-Qaeda as an organization and is regarded by many experts as being a dangerous person, not particularly because he is conducting activities himself, but because he has been giving his blessing as a senior cleric.
All these suspects have been released under strict and somewhat unusual bail conditions. What are those conditions?
They are very strict. I know you have house arrest also in the United States there. I don't know quite what the conditions are there, but here it involves things like wearing an electronic tag. It means that there's a curfew from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. It means that only anybody who wants to visit the house where one of these detainees is going to be held in the future will have to apply to the Home Office and give name, address, and even a photograph before they can get access. It also forbids them from using the internet or from mobile phone. So these are extremely restrictive conditions, certainly in the UK tradition, and there's yet a chance that even those conditions will be challenged by lawyers who argue that they will be affecting the human rights of the people. Even though they're not in prison, I believe that some of the lawyers will try and argue that the conditions imposed under house arrest are tantamount to being in prison. And so that is likely to come up in the European Court of Human Rights, possibly in the not-too-distant future, as they've asked for expedited hearings.
Nick Fielding, thanks so much for talking to us.
Thank you very much.
Nick Fielding writes for the Sunday Times of London.